Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Preseason game one in the books, and let's hope what we saw today also gets left in the books. It's Z-Bot. It's Rico. Rico and Bot in the afternoon right here on the Buffalo Fanatics YouTube channel. The Bills took on Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears in their first preseason game of 2024, and it wasn't all that great. 33-6, your final from Orchard Park. We got about a quarter's worth of play from Josh Allen and the offensive starters. Majority of the starters on defense played about a quarter as well. We got to see the aforementioned Caleb Williams and the majority of the starting unit for the Bills, or the Bears offense, rather. And we'll dive into what we saw today. We will preface before anything, we do realize, just like you do, it's preseason, but what we watched today, we're still going to talk about it. I will say, Rico, after watching that, it was nice to see Steph Curry close out France, ball out. The United States men's team just clinched the gold in France. At least we got to see that, Rico.
Good for them. Good for them. You got to see that. You got to see the Canadian men's team get a W in the 4x1 100. They didn't see that coming. Who? Canada who? But you know what? We could talk about the Olympics and how our countries are doing, but here's a team that we both like. Here's a team that we both root for. And I can't say that there was a lot for me to root for on the field today.
Yep.
I really can't. I was trying so hard. It's preseason. Let me try to find somewhere where I can say, okay, I like that. There wasn't many. There wasn't many. I mean, first things first, I'll tell you this. It really annoyed me. I asked you this question yesterday purposely. I said, hey, man, you're Joe Brady. First play that you're going to run tomorrow night, what's it going to be? And you certainly didn't say run. I don't think you said that. I think you said you're going to try to dump it off to get a passing, get somewhere, someone going. Curtis Samuel, I think, was your first one. It doesn't matter. The first play that we run is a up the gut for like uninspiring, just boring.
Yeah,
I don't know what Joe Brady. I can't fault Joe Brady, but like I understand not showing a lot. I get it. It's preseason. You just want to get out there healthy and just run basic vanilla plays. And in McDermott's words, we just want it to be fundamentally sound. Buddy, there was nothing fundamentally sound about anything you did today. No. Nothing fundamentally sound.
If that was the goal, they missed the mark. And that has nothing to do with personnel on the field, scheme. The Bills had over 10 penalties in this preseason game. They muffed a return. KJ Hamler muffs a kickoff. Tyler Bass, the whole special teams unit. And granted, once again, let me preface, this is the point of the preseason. Get it out of the way now. But they seem to have no semblance of how the new kickoff works. They weren't able to get that under under control today. And like DMX is coming in and saying it was indeed above 10 penalties. It wasn't 11 penalties for these Bills on a variety of different plays on both offense and defense. It was just sloppy from top to bottom. And, you know, if you're looking to get fundamentally sound, I guess the good way to do that would be to get this out of the way. But it still is, you know, it's kind of gross. The first time you see the Bills back in 2024 preseason or not, you're watching flags fly over the field and the inability to get a block on anybody. And you're watching the other team run up and down the field. Now, like I said earlier, when I was on for the first quarter, yes, the Steelers last year went up 27-0 on the Bills in the preseason and it wound up not mattering. This probably won't either. But when you're excited to go and watch the boys get after it for the first time in 2024, when you see what you got today, it wasn't great. And like you said, uninspired, you know, you're going to get vanilla play calling. You know, you're not going to see anything. But Rico, right off the bat, would set the tone for me where I'm just like, you know, come on. That first drive, back to what you said. Yeah, I get it. First play, I understand handing the ball off. Fine, whatever. It didn't go great. The next play, Rico, is exactly what you and I wanted to see talking last night. It was a nice route by Curtis Samuel. By the way, we'll talk about this later on in the show, but it was a nice route similar to what we saw throughout the day when they were able to actually get the ball off. Curl route to Curtis Samuel near the far sideline, and it gained about 7-ish yards. It sets up 3rd and 3.
Yep.
And this is what I said it then, and I'll say it now, and you'll hear me say it every damn time it happens to rear its ugly head, and it did a lot last year. 3rd and 3, I don't want to see a halfback draw out of the gun. Right up the middle, you hand it to James Cook on 3rd and short to move the sticks, and you run them in to a wall, and boom, you punt. And today, what pissed me off about that, we knew we were going to get limited snaps from Josh Allen, and we wanted to see what he was going to be able to do in the air game with these new receivers. And boom, just like that, Rico, you're 3 plays in, you got 1 pass off, and you have to punt. So that was what the most unfortunate aspect of that game was that first drive where you could have gotten something together like the Bears did on the other end. The Bills ran it twice into a wall. Allen got 1 throw off, then they had to punt.
Uninspiring is the word that comes to me. It's almost like a Jim Rohn triple U, but I'll just give a single U today, and that's the uninspired play. It was uninspiring offensively, uninspiring on special teams, uninspiring altogether. It's just rough to watch at first. And you know, okay, past the first thing, let's get past the first quarter. You like, okay, we're going to get a series or two from Josh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Josh comes in, does bare minimum just to kind of get out there. He comes in, gives us a glimpse of what Josh Allen does with a scramble.
Oh, by the way, we were talking about that last night. You noticed right after that, his ass got put on the bench. No more 17 today.
But part of me was like, man, in preseason, you're already scrambling to get out of the pocket.
Mm.
I don't like that this early. And we might be overblowing this, but I don't like it this early in preseason. First game, you're already scrambling to get out of the pocket to make a play. Bro, man, we got to keep this brother upright. This is crazy to me. Omar Brown, what did Omar Brown say?
Omar's saying it's over. What we saw today is all we need to see. Close the window. It's done. Bills are toast. I just thought it was so funny, Rico. Because J.A., and this is what we love about him, but this is why you have to protect him from himself, because he's his own worst enemy. It's the preseason, and he's just off. And he slides. Thank God at least he slid. But, you know, Caleb Williams did the same thing on one of their drives. It was 3rd and 9, and he wound up scrambling and wound up getting a first down. You're out there, you're playing, and I'm telling you, when Josh Allen snaps the ball and has the ball in his hand, the odds of him thinking, oh, it's a preseason game, don't do anything, it probably isn't the way he's thinking. He's probably thinking, oh, I'm playing football, do what I got to do. I see what you're saying. The overall line presence on both sides of the ball today was bad. The Bears were doing what they wanted pretty much anywhere, and the Bills could not run the ball today. I can't tell you how many times we watched them attempt to run, and it just got blown up at the line of scrimmage or slightly beyond it or in front of it. It wasn't great, but let's talk about the, there's not a whole lot to dive into with this, but enough to where I was happy to see it, Rico. That's going to the receiver stats, because what we talked about throughout the offseason, we'll continue to do so. It's this
It's this committee approach where these guys are going to collectively come together and try to put together the production that would equate to what you got from Diggs and Davis. It's going to be more committee based. And what I thought we saw today, at least through the, you know, the first couple of series where we got to see the starting pass catchers, Khalil Shakir involved heavily. Curtis Samuel, I thought, looked awesome in the two moments they allowed him to shine, right? You got Keon Coleman, his first grab. Mitch Trubisky tried to get him a couple more. Mitch was throwing balls in the stands. I mean, I don't know what was going on. Every ball he threw seemed to be high. But early on, Rico, I know there's a limited sample size here, but were you happy to see that Coleman, Kincaid, Shakir, and Curtis Samuel all got involved despite only having the ability to play for about a quarter and a half?
I would have loved to see them, especially more with Allen. I would have loved to see Allen at least, even if you threw a wild incompletion, I wanted to see something between you and Coleman, right? Something. At least go to him. But, like, you just went with the motion. You went with whoever's there, and I get it. You don't want to force feed your rookie receiver that just got here. You're the point of the game is to spread the ball all over the place. I get that part altogether. But I would have loved to seen Josh with a little more semblance with Keon Coleman. But what can you do in two series? After you get you run the football, you're yanked. Trubisky had more time and chemistry with a lot of these guys. So I don't even know how to explain it. It just seemed like we just went out there just to run a couple plays to quickly get off the field. That's what it looked like. It didn't look like we tried to put something together. It just said run these basic vanilla plays. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, so be it. It's preseason. Let's get out of here. I would have liked to see y'all put a little something together.
That's what sucks about this time of year, because for all we know, that's what it could have been. And if that is the case, then ultimately it comes back to the point that everybody's been making forever. And it's like, what the hell is the point of this in the first place? What are we doing? Like, what are we doing here? Just continuing to do these joint practices. I think the Bills have one with the Steelers coming up, right? Like, just do these. Just do these joint practices and, you know, to hell with these games. And I think this is the problem that, you know, arises with this type of performance in a preseason game. BK kind of said it. It's like, you know, if you can't brush it off, and then at the same time, if it were reversed, everybody would be like, oh, look out for these Buffalo Bills. I mean, you know how it goes. Everybody's like this. If the Bills went out today and, you know, that first drive, Allen was 6-6 and Keon Coleman got in the end zone, the Bills destroyed the Bears, whatever, your Twitter feed right now, I promise you, would look a hell of a lot different than it currently does. Like Colin Coward always says, one of my favorite quotes, nothing is everything. Everything is something. Today was something. It wasn't great. You know, it really wasn't. It was very uninspired. It was not fun to watch. And I'll tell you this, if you're a Bears fan, you walked away from today feeling the total opposite. What you got to see was a couple of tremendous throws for Caleb Williams. I mean, let's be honest. Caleb Williams started that game today, folks, in the first quarter. There was 5 minutes left in the first quarter, and Caleb Williams was 4 for 4 for 95 yards. Majority of the Bills' starting defense was out there. I mean, it was not looking great, including that one throw to DeAndre Swift there where they busted it up the middle for 42 yards. The Bills played 60 minutes of football today. Didn't have anything close to that. So in the preseason, like Rico, you mentioned, you like to get one or two things that you can take away and be like, I like to see that. The Bills didn't really get anything for us to take away today and be satisfied about.
I'm looking at what Caleb Williams was able to do today. And granted, 4 for 7, but if it's his four completions, one of them was obviously to DeAndre Swift with that screenplay that went for 42 yards. But then you had Dante Pettis with a big play. He had DJ Moore twice.
Third and 12, Rico.
You wanted to see something like that, all right? Your starting quarterback hitting your number one receiver with 3rd and 12. Who's he going to? Boom, DJ Moore. I would have liked to see something that way. Right? It's 3rd and short. F running the football, where's Kincaid at? I want to see that with a little pressure on us, 3rd and 2. And if we go 3rd and out, that's cool. But an uninspiring 2 runs, fam, like, cut it out, man. Cut it out with all that. But anyway, I don't want to just end everything we say about this preseason game by saying, but it's preseason. Like you just said, everything is something and something is everything. And anything that you paid attention to today, should actually send a message a little bit. Like, let's dive into the O-line. The O-line got bullied. We got bullied in the trenches. We got pushed around. We couldn't create a hole. Dude, You know how many sacks we allowed today? We allowed 8 sacks today.
Is that accurate? Was it 8?
We allowed 8 sacks today, my guy.
Oh, man.
Listen.
Well, I'll tell you, the other thing you can look at, too, look at James Cook's stat line, Rico. I'm sure you got it right there. Look at James Cook's stat line.
Listen, I know all about James Cook's stat. 4 carries for 2 yards. Then you had Ray Davis. I had 5 carries for 2 yards. It wasn't good, brother. It was not good. And this is not indicative of the skill set of James Cook or Ray Davis. You know, they're great runners. The O-line got pushed around. So we go from an offensive corner in Joe Brady that pretty much revitalized our run game last year, just really made this thing something, and then you come into this game. And I know it's just preseason. I get it. But come on, man. Like, we could have – there's some things you can focus on. You know what? This preseason, yes, game, we ain't gonna throw the ball a lot. We're going to actually work on running the football. The theme is going to be running the football. And I would have been totally glad of that. I see what they're doing. They're trying to get set up their run game. I get it. Today, I don't know what was. They were just calling plays to just get off the field.
Yeah.
Come on,
man. The point you're making is accurate, because if I'm looking at it from the Bears standpoint, I can go away from that saying, man, I saw Caleb Williams convert a 3rd-and-12 with pressure in his face. Talk about that. I saw Caleb Williams on the run, rolling to his right off his back foot, put one on a dime to his tight end. I watched Caleb Williams come from, you know, being backed up to his own 2-yard line, bring them all the way down to the red zone. I saw my receivers get involved. Like, if you look at it from the Bears perspective, they're able to talk about things that, you know, they saw today and dissect them. With the Bills, you didn't really have anything to even talk about because they didn't put anything out on display. And then you got guys, of course, like Mike, you know, you can't talk about anything. You can't talk about anything because God forbid you say one word. And this Bills team's going 0-17. So. This is why the preseason should just be abolished in general, because for all we know, the Bears wind up losing every game, the Bills win every game, but it's still something we watched today and it sucked. Let's be fair.
You just never know. And even here's a funny thing too. I'm talking to Bobby today. Bobby's like, yo, how about we just scrap the preseason altogether
yes.
and just go straight 18 games and just call it a day.
I know.
Do joint practices all you want. September 1st is game time. Let's roll. But then you start looking at other teams. Right, you're looking at Atlanta. You got Michael Penix is just out there slinging that rock. You got Joe Milton coming through and making movements and kind of giving a little bit of spark to the Patriots. Where you're like, oh shit, this might be very interesting. I mean, look, the Jets look decent today against the Commanders.
This time of year is insane.
We're not supposed to talk about it.
I know.
Like, what we want to see. What isn't this what we wanted to see? We want to see what our depth looks like. That's why preseason is here. It's not about the starters. You already know what time it is when the starters get in there. Problem is, we had a little bit of the starters in there today, and the starters did not look great.
Yeah, that's the problem. Unsettled. Exactly.
That's the problem. We know preseason doesn't matter, Mike L. We know. but Mr. Mike L, we also have to acknowledge that the starters were in there, and they got bullied in the trenches. That is problematic for me, especially this early. Bro, we can't have that, man. We cannot have that, especially if we're supposed to make this push and really make some noise this offseason and obviously into the regular season.
Yeah.
So, Mike, those that are like Mike L, and there's no shade on Mike L.
Everybody's like that right now, really, for the most part.
No shade on you, Mike L. I'm just you put that comment in there, so you're going to get it back a little bit. But that's when the starters are in, I expect to see something solid. We didn't see anything solid today.
Let's just be fair. In your heart of hearts as a Bills fan, whether you know it's preseason or not, the first time you see Josh Allen and the boys take the field and it's 2 runs up into a wall and a 3-and-out, it still pisses you off. I don't it care does. If it doesn't mean anything. It's still yes. stuff. Because you knew going into this one that Josh Allen, and they were very true to their word, because they had a drive, their second drive trickled in to the second quarter, and when the second quarter started, Trubisky was out there. Allen was gone. That was after the scramble where McDermott's like, Jesus, my God, just get him off the field. We cannot deal with this right now. Nice. But we only got 1.5 drives from Allen, and one of those drives was pissed away on a 3-and-out. Like, that's what the frustrating part was, because you wanted to see at least 2 sets of downs at the minimum in the beginning of the game where you could have Allen. I mean, Allen only threw the ball 3 times today. And I will say, what was fun about today, when the ball did wound up getting thrown, You did see, I thought the route running from Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir today is exactly what I hope to see throughout the year. Their ability, I think they both play a similar style in that their ability to get open in the intermediate game. You saw it once from Khalil Shakir today in the middle of the field. He runs a beautiful curl route, and his ability, Rico, to get yards after the catch, catching the ball in traffic or in the middle of the field where there's other bodies. I thought he was great at it this year or last year. Another great play like that today. Seeing Curtis Samuel speed, Rico,
like
hitting him on that screen, and he bursts up for 15 yards. So that's why when you saw these, there was good flashes there like those I just mentioned. That's why you wish you could have saw a bit more and they squandered it in the beginning. That, to me, was the most frustrating part about today.
Well, I mean, we can sit here and poo-poo all over the preseason and say this, that, and the third. And I'm glad you brought up Shakir and Curtis Samuel, because one of the plays that if you recall last year, especially when our offense wasn't, you know, I mean, budging the way it needed to budge. Mm-hmm. There was a moment in the season last year where Joe Brady, it's like he relied a lot on the screen. There was a lot of screen plays run, and the screen plays were being run to someone that I didn't necessarily want it being run to, but that's your number one receiver, Diggs. And they kept on running those screen plays to Diggs. And I was like, that's odd that they're going to Diggs, but I understand it too, because they're trying to get him started. Get Diggs started by getting the football in his hands. So I saw the glimpse of that today. He's like, he's back to the screenplay. But the big difference today was you have one that is a lot more explosive and a lot more dynamic with the football in his hands in Curtis Samuel. And that screenplay that went to Curtis Samuel was something that we did a lot last year with Diggs, but it didn't quite materialize because there's not the explosiveness that Curtis Samuel has. So this version of Curtis Samuel in this offense is going to do a lot of damage, good damage. So when we need to get out of a pinch or we need a big play, look for that screenplay to happen often this offseason. So that's one thing I really did like with Curtis Samuel connecting with Joe Brady. And this offense, the way that this offense is run, I think that you're going to see a lot of that. So when Josh Allen obviously takes over and is the guy, you'll probably see that play 3 or 4 times a game. So that way we can get things started. So that I really did like. We can trade back and forth. What else did you see in this game that you say, you know what, although there were some bad things, here's some things I like. So Curtis Samuel, I think we both agree on that. Is there anything else that stood out to you that you're like, I like that. Give me more of that.
Well, to that point, it's funny you mentioned that. That's the exact same thing I said. As soon as I saw that catch from Curtis Samuel on that screen, I first thought of Stephon Diggs. We had saw that play forced to Diggs how many times last year? It never worked. It never worked once. In fact, he fumbled on it. He fumbled on it in the playoffs, I believe. There was the first attempt to try to get him the ball against Kansas City, and he fumbled it out of bounds or whatever. I hated that play. It was never Stephon Diggs' game. But that's when we really started to understand how much they were trying to force feed him the ball. And when we were seeing continuous screen throws to Stephon Diggs, you're wondering, man, is this really like where we're at right now trying to get him involved? So when you did see Curtis Samuel take that same play today for 15 yards with that speed, somebody who's more his game style is more built for that type of play. That was exciting to see. I will say I hate that play in general. The quick out screen, it's very boom or bust, and it's very easy for that play to get blown up if the line doesn't get that. If you don't get that push up in front of you while the completion's also made in stride, a lot of things can go wrong. So I hope, like you just said, I hope we don't see it 3 times a week. I wouldn't mind seeing Curtis Samuel gash in the middle, though, for 15 yards like we saw today at least once in a game. That type of play is a great way to move the sticks without having to do a whole hell of a lot if you're able to get it to work the way it did today. I also, you know, sticking on the wide receiver theme, I love what we saw from Khalil Shakir. He led the way today in receptions and yards. And what I just mentioned a minute ago is exactly what I loved to see today. And I think we saw it a lot last year, and I think we're going to see it throughout this year. And that is his ability to find space is phenomenal. I think that was one of the more underrated aspects of what we saw to him last year. His ability to get open when the Bills just needed not a huge chunk play, but to just move the sticks. That was what he was great at. He caught nearly 90% of the targets that came his way last year, and I expect him to have one of the more sure hands on this team again. But there was a play today, as I mentioned a bit ago, that I loved because I thought he did a good job of this last year, and this is what's going to be the bread and butter for the Bills if they can continue to get it to work. Not having to go over the top, but instead hitting a guy like Khalil Shakir over the middle, wide open on an easy curl, and then allowing him to turn it up the field and get another 5-6 yards. We know the Bills struggled with yards after the catch a lot with Josh Allen at the helm. It's been one of the areas they've been trying to get better at with the wide receiver position. He made a very similar play last year that got into the end zone against the Steelers. He caught it, broke a tackle, and was able to somehow get into the end zone. Khalil Shakir's ability to find the open space, their ability to take what's given to him, right, get that easy first down, then allow him to make even more out of that play, I loved it. Him and Curtis Samuel, I feel like, are going to go back and forth as far as finding space in the middle, easy throws, and next thing you know, just like last year, the Bills have a dominant time of possession stat, and they're also moving the ball down the field, first down here, first down there. All of a sudden, they're in the red zone. Hoping to see a lot of that this year.
I really am. I got my guy Zizou. Zizou says,
Zizou.
Zizou says, stop complaining, fellas. It's preseason. Man, Zizou, listen, man.
I didn't even think we were complaining all that much, to be honest.
I didn't think we were either. We were just talking about.
You want to see complaining? We can start complaining, baby. I'll start complaining right now. I'll go crazy. Listen,
in reply to Zizou, my man Walter, our guy Walter, says, what's wrong with complaining? Two things can be true. You can be disappointed and critique bad play and also realize this is just preseason. Why the heck not?
Rico, there's two words you can't spell without the letter W, and that's Walter and Wise. Walter giving us a little bit of wisdom here. Two things can be true at once. Today, it was just the preseason. Today also sucked. It was both. You're not going to see me losing sleep over it tonight, but I'll tell you this, and Rico will say the same. I would much rather be sitting down here being like, man, did you see this? Did you see that? We're sitting here down. We're sitting right here talking about like three catches that Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir had, because that's all we have to take away from that game as far as positive talking points are concerned.
Well, listen, Walter the Wise, we appreciate you always. He's always in the chat, chatting it up. Yep. Now, I will say this. If you go to the defensive side of the ball, I was intrigued by two rookies, actually. Mm. And that was Javon Solomon. I saw him get in there. I think you get him in the mix and in a steady rotation, especially with the third and longs, he could be a very problematic player and a very solid player. I know he's a little undersized in terms of height, but he's got good size on him. I think he's going to be a difference maker. And I loved the amount of play time that Dwayne Carter got. Number 90, big number 90. You look big on that field, man. So Dwayne Carter, I saw him get a lot of play time. I loved what I saw from that dynamic. We didn't get the push that we needed from the defensive front. I feel like we got stagnant, and they kind of stalled us at the line. We didn't get the pressure. I think we sacked the quarterback once, and the sack that we got credited for was a push out of bounds. That was it. So we didn't get the pressure we needed, but I liked seeing those guys on the field. AJ Epenesa was on there. Greg Rousseau had a good couple first series. I loved he made a solid tackle right off the rip. So Greg Rousseau stayed for a big year. So the defensive line got pushed around just a tiny little bit. I would have loved a little more pressure from these guys. But that's what stood out to me. Now, something else that stood out to me too was, and it's not a concern yet, but it is something that I've written down and I'm like, I'll come back to this. And that is our run defense. And I know it's preseason. Don't give a damn. We let this team run for 141 yards today rushing. I don't care if it's depth players. I don't care if it's starting players.
And it was like a bunch of guys got involved too, Rico. Like yeah, multiple.
I don't care if it's preseason. I don't give a damn. You're trying to make this team. You got to do everything you can to be in lockstep and stop this run. 141 yards rushing off of 30. Get out of here with that stuff. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. Not one bit. So that's one thing that was slightly concerning to me. I've written it down. I'm not like petrified because Matt Milano and Bernard will have things in order. Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver going to getting hurt. I didn't like that too much, but yeah, these guys will have things in check. However, those things do happen. Another thing I didn't like, since we're speaking about the D-line, is our guy Ed Oliver going down. I'm sure it's something very minor and it was more precautionary that they took him out of the game. I didn't like seeing that. You don't like seeing guys get injured in a big
first snap. I was like, is that really Ed Oliver right now? Am I seeing things? Luckily, Rico, he is completely fine. He was even clear to go back in. They just said, all right, call it a day.
Just sit down.
I don't even know exactly what it was. He went to the blue tent. He came right back out. I was standing with the guys. But like you said, that's the double-edged sword with this. Like, you want guys to go in and you want to see more, but then you see Allen take off for a run. You're like, dude, get the hell down. Get him off. Ed Oliver goes down the first play. It's like, all right, God, just this is what sucks about this time of year, because there's nothing really good or bad you can take away from it. It's more than likely going to be bad, right? Because even if we're sitting here about the good things, you know that's not going to translate. But the bad, for some reason, feels like at this time of year, like it does translate more, because you watch these teams. Like the other night, the Giants looked really good. The Patriots looked really good. Last year, the Steelers looked really good against the Bills. Like, it's just a really tough thing to kind of dissect. But I'll just tell you this. When you look at the overall vibe of what this game was, I mean, my God, the Bills had 200 yards of offense, okay? 200 yards of offense, 77 rushing yards. Basically, everything was doubled up by the Bears today. And what that tells you is that the depth today was concerning. The trenches were a bit concerning. And when the starters were in, one team took advantage of it more than the other, I would say. Now, all of these things could be completely irrelevant. But when you watch this team trot back out on the field for the first time this year, there's a difference between not playing great in the preseason, right, and you lose and who cares. But today was just, it was flat out like, woof. A lot, you know what I mean? Other than Tyler Bass hitting a couple of field goals and these receivers get involved early on. I mean, 11 penalties, Sam Martin punted one into the back of his own center. It looked like at one point you muff a kickoff that puts you at the 15 yard line. Like, we don't care if they go out and win and look great, but today was just bad. I mean, you never want to see that, no matter what, whether it counts or not.
Listen, there were some bad moments, but I think our recipient for bad moment of the game, or just bad player, Shane Buehler.
Before you get on him, I was just saying, he led the league in, he led the team in rushing today. He led the team in rushing today. Did.
Shane Buehler.
Excuse me.
Shane Buehler. Listen, I mean, he's the third string quarterback. I know he's not really anything, so we get it. But you also want a quarterback. I'm going to be real with you. You also want no hat bot.
Shit is getting serious, he says.
Well, listen, tell them the comment that you read today on your pregame show.
Dude, some of the comments you guys leave, and when I say you guys, I mostly mean people who aren't in every week. Like, I swear to God, once a week we'll get a random, well, not a random, I don't want to say random, but maybe a newcomer or whatever. And someone will just say the most out of pocket thing I've ever read. Today, somebody on, I did the first quarter, I live streamed the first quarter, and my man Mason comes in and he says, bro, the top half of your head from the eyebrows up is giving good realtor vibes, and from the eyebrows down, including the voice, it's giving good old Bama boy from the swamp look. The best part, though, he goes, figure out which one you want to be is if I can choose the face and the voice that I bring to you.
Figure out and pick one. Figure it out and pick one.
But I love how Mason's watching me, you know, dissect the first quarter of this preseason game the whole time. He's doing a psychoanalysis on my entire head.
I don't know whether he wants to sell me a house or he's trying to bring me to the swamp.
Later. Yeah, is he trying to sell me a house or is he pitching me for the next season of, Deadliest Catch on the Discovery Channel? Something in the middle. I have no clue, but that made me laugh.
Something in the middle. Well, I'll tell you this. Something in the middle that's got to give. Was seeing Bernard on the field. I liked seeing Bernard. Those were some good things. Seeing Bernard on the field, but we didn't really get to see a whole lot of it. But there was a name that stood out today that concerning to me, should be concerning to a lot of us. But this person was he was pretty active on the defensive side. If you noticed, there was a name by the name of Williamson. It was the safety Kendall Williamson. So the minute they took Taylor Rapp out of the game, it was Kendall Williamson that got a lot of playtime. This is the concerning part, is this. You don't have Bishop. You don't have Edwards. So now you're sitting here with Kendall Williamson, Damar Hamlin, and then you've got Kareem Jackson, that's a 15-year veteran that is going to start getting acclimated to this defense. But, like, pause for concern for the back end of that defense. And I'm not saying anything bad about Kendall because he was active today. 5 total tackles. He had 1 pass breakup, and then it was an early pass breakup. So he was active today. But, man, we are depleted at the safety position, and it showed today. It showed today. 141 yards rushing, and you had Caleb Williams go 4 for 7, 95 yards, 13 yards a pop. So it's somewhat concerning. We got to get healthy, and we're healthy in the wrong, we're unhealthy in the wrong positions, and it really does suck. But That's a positive to take out of this, because Williamson was active and he's trying to prove himself that I'm the next guy in and I got to prove myself as best I can. So that was pretty cool. Now, he did have a bozo penalty, though, when he knocked the guy.
Who didn't?
I think it was Williamson, where he hit a guy right in the chest. Oh, was it Cam Lewis? No, it was Williamson.
No, dude, he nailed that dude. He nailed his ass.
Unnecessary. Even I was okay, dude.
Yeah, like, dude, in college, his ass would have gotten tossed on that. That dude, probably, target. Yeah, that was a hit.
No place for that. You're trying to make the team. I get it, but you didn't have to do all that. So that being said, I mean, I like to see what Kendall Williamson was up to. He was active. He was out there, which was great. How did you feel about Sam Martin and the special teams, but more specifically, kick return, punt return? There's a battle going on.
Yeah.
KJ Hamler, right? Jaquan Hardy. It's between those two guys. Who do you think takes it?
Well, you know, it was interesting because Hamler also took the punt return today. They only punted, I think, once, and the Bears did, and KJ Hamler took that punt return. So it looks like they're leaning more towards him, I would say. Now, this is coming down to two guys that we anticipated would be, you know, competing for. But Rico, I mean, I'm sure you noticed it's a two-man game now. The return game is a two-man game. So I don't even know if it's a competition. It might just be these two guys. This whole thing, we talked about it a bit last night, but we're going to be talking about this a lot. Like, it's easy to just overlook the kick because it's a kickoff, but it's no longer like just a kickoff. This is an integral part of the game. We talked about it last night. The ability for your team to now start at the 40, if you're able to get this figured out or beyond or whatever. I mean, it's something. There, Mason's in again. Mason's in again. Mason, I sent that to the fellas earlier. I just go, yo, what do you make of this? We were dying. So thanks for the laugh, Mason. That was great. But by the way, I did look. Mason has been around the channel. He just doesn't. He doesn't vocalize his opinions on my face all that often. This was the first time. But so maybe it is a two-man game there, Rico. What I didn't love to see was Hamler, you know, fumbled one and put him at the 15-yard line. There, you'd hate to see that, but at the end of the day, do it now. This kickoff situation, though, what was concerning to me is, like, the Bills didn't know. It didn't seem like they knew what they wanted to do with it when they were kicking the ball off. The first one was odd, where it was just Bass kind of drilling it and it bounced into the end zone. There's going to have to be strategy behind this, because some teams are going to use this to their advantage, to the point where when you see these games, as we talked about throughout the offseason here, the Bills, they don't lose by more than 6 points. It's 40 straight games that where if they lose, it's by six or less. These games are going to come down to the moments like you might see on the kickoff here. I hope that the Bills have something more prepared than what we saw today when it comes to this new kickoff, because it looked like on the kicking off side of things, wasn't all that great. And on the return thing side of things, it wasn't like they were taking advantage of what I feel is out there at their disposal with this new setup, because if you give Josh Allen the ball at the 40 and say you're playing whoever, doesn't really matter, you're automatically at an advantage. They have got to find a way to capitalize on this situation, because it's teams like the Bills that are put in the most advantageous setup. When you have a quarterback like Josh Allen and you have the ability to start with better field position routinely, this is how you win these close games. So in looking at the return situation, Rico, to me, it's probably going to be Hamler and Hardy back there doing it together. And then with Bass, just hoping that we do, you know, that there's more strategy involved, I guess you could say. But everyone's saying the same thing right now, Rico, on X about this, or on Twitter. I don't like calling it X. It's like calling the Ralph high mark. You're never going to hear me do it. I'm not doing it. Sorry. But everyone's saying, well, no one wants to show anything. Like, so is that what it is? Because I don't know if any of us really, like, this is what I keep getting at. And as we get closer to actual kickoff here in the regular season, this is where I'm starting to get more and more intrigued by this. Like, we have no idea the impact this is going to have. And everybody keeps saying no one's showing anything. Is there a deeper strategy in play here? Maybe we don't know. I mean, how are you taking it? Because it's kind of throwing me off. Like, the expectations surrounding what this is going to do, the game is continuing to grow on my end of things as we approach regular season.
There is strategy, though, because this is a new concept to the league. So Nobody wants to. I mean, everybody's trying to. Okay, how are we going to attack this thing? This is because this is new for everyone. So everybody's on a clean slate when it comes to this. So preseason, just field it and do what you do, freestyle it. But once the season starts, if you want pure advantage, you're going to try to coach things up. You're going to try to touch things up as much as you can where you can gain the extra 6, 7, 8 yards, right? Instead of starting at the 30, you're now starting at the 38. Instead of starting at the, you know, the 30. So they don't want to give up things. They might have a formation where, like, we're going to set it like this. And then, because let's just put it this way. When the Wildcat came out, I'm sure they did not show anything about a Wildcat in the preseason. But once the season started, yo, that Wildcat was very difficult to stop until people started kind of, all right, let's try to figure this thing out here, right? So in that short window that we have, or whoever has it, whoever has figured it out first is going to have the most success doing it until the league catches up and does the copycat thing. So, yes, it is strategic at this point. Don't show everything.
Yeah.
This is where your special teams coach is going to get their money's worth and get paid. Are you a good enough special teams guy that you can mold something to get this thing to our advantage? And that's why you're going to see this kind of play out.
So you're telling me you're thinking triple reverse on the first kickoff return against you, the Cardinals. Listen,
you called it, and it might even happen just because you just said it, which is crazy. Yeah. But the thing, I'll tell you this much. I know we have a lot of depth guys trying to make this squad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell MVS is doing. If you're trying to
make last night, by the way, that was your point last night about
if you're trying to make this team, Mr. MVS, this was not a great showing. You can't sit here and have a ball thrown to you in the middle of the field and you are wide open and you drop the football. This stigma of dropping footballs already follows you. You're now in a new destination. This is your third team. Bruh, quit dropping the football and catch that thing. We gave you $1 million guaranteed, and if we cut you, we'll lose $2 million. Let me tell you something. They're not afraid to lose money. We did it with O.J. Howard last year, or was it the year before? Sometimes I get all messed up. When O.J. Howard was slated to be the guy, we cut him. You're out of here. So don't think you ain't going to get dropped the way you dropping these footballs, my guy, because that is not cutting it. And here's the thing. Shavers had a prime opportunity to overtake him. And he still probably has an edge over MVS. But he dropped the football too. But come on, fellas. Like, you're trying to make this team and you dropping easy footballs by yourself? You didn't help the quarterback, man. And you certainly didn't help yourself. So, MVS, Mark, listen, Scantling, figure it out, my guy.
And he did get some snaps in the first quarter. I mean, honestly, he was one of the only receivers who, like, did not have a catch in this game. The majority of, you know, players that did wind up going out there and getting at least a few reps wound up getting a catch. You know, Keon Coleman actually played the most. He had the most snaps in the first quarter, by the way, with 8. But Marquez Valdes-Scantling had 3. Didn't end up with a catch. But this is what sucks about this time of year. If you're a guy like MBS, you get very limited opportunity. And when you do get one and you drop it, for a routine catch, like say he catches it, I don't know how much of a favor it does him. But if you drop it, that's going to stick in the mind when you're coming down to these decisions. That's what sucks about this situation. If you are MVS, or, you know, like with Hamler, he fumbles the return today. That doesn't do you any good, despite the fact that if you just get a modest return, it might not do you any benefit doing your job. Like, this is the tough part of the year. But you kind of said it last night where you were thinking MVS kind of might be on the fringe as far as where they're going to be going in terms of keeping wide receivers here or getting rid of ones there. I just felt like he might be more locked in than it meets the eye just because of his history and his experience. But at the end of the day, the way that this team's structured right now, nobody's set in stone. And I think we saw today, based on the snap count, it's not like he's going to be an overall focal point for this offense. So you might be right, Rico. There could be something to it.
Listen, man, all I know is you just got to make plays, bro. You got to make plays. And if they give you an opportunity to make a play right there, bro, you've got to catch that football. You've got to, just to kind of wipe that stink off you that you drop footballs. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't drop it when it comes to the playoffs. He's clutching. Yo, I get all that. But golly, man, you got something wide open in preseason with people already on your ass, and you have Mac Hollins that's already surpassed you.
I didn't know he wasn't playing today, by the way. I wish we could have saw a little bit of him. I would have liked this.
You're competing for receiver 5 and 6. My guy. And Chase Claypool didn't even play. This was your opportunity to get up there. Now, maybe we talking ish and they just love him and they're probably just going to keep him on the roster whatsoever. But I hope if they do, if they end up keeping him, that moments like this don't bite us in the ass. I hope it doesn't. So they better know what the heck they're doing with MVS. But I would not lose any sleep, nor would I be shocked if they said, hey, by the way, we've cut MVS. He can go join Juju Smith-Schuster on free agency and somebody can pick him up and go somewhere. But golly, man, MVS, you gotta catch them footballs, bro. You got to.
Like I said, Keon Coleman had 8 first quarter snaps. He had 3 targets, 1 from Trubisky, who ended up being a catch. It was a great route. He really planted his foot in the ground, turned around, got himself wide open in zone coverage. There was about 2 defenders in the area. He was able to fool them both on that comeback. Trubisky threw him a couple of terrible balls, I felt, in the end zone. He did end up falling down on one of them, too. I thought he got held a bit. The chat while I was live was telling me that I was dead wrong, so maybe I was. But he got tangled up on. I was liking the fact they were emphasizing trying to get him the ball, Rico, with Trubisky in there. I would have liked to have seen it with Allen, though.
Yeah, this is what I mean. Like, why wasn't there an attempt at least, 1 or 2, even if it's like 3 straight attempts to Keon Coleman, just to kind of show that, okay, yeah, that's the guy we're looking for. But, I mean, semantics here and there. I mean, whether you get it to him now, get it to him later in the regular season, I would like to see something build right now in preseason while the bullets are live with Josh Allen. But nonetheless, they did try to make him a focal point. They did try to get him his touchdown in the end zone. They were dripped all over him, man. They were dripped all over him. That's what I'm going to say. What's up, Nicholas? Nicholas, what's Nicholas?
I don't know, the chat's killing me today. Every time I look down, there's something on there that's killing me. I just...
Rico, I was talking about the Olympic team. About my 4x100. You got to keep it real. Noel Lyles talking big ish. Talking big ish. Canada who? Canada who? Well, Canada whoop that ass. I don't want to hear nothing.
Oh, my God. No, it's killing me. This is when you know football's back, when I got the chat just cooking. The chat is in mid-season form right now. Listen, man. Like KM, right? Don't hate me. I've watched this too long. We can't get to the next mid-show. It's like, this is what I love about it. This is why you got to love the sport, because there's so many people that are saying, if you say one negative thing about this meaningless game, I will spit in your face. And then you have KM that's like, I've seen enough. Call off the dogs. Is Bill Belichick still around? Call him. Bring him in. Football's back, baby. If you want to care about anything after today, outside of the game, you can rest your head tonight knowing officially football is back and we're super close to it actually meaning something and not having to talk about ones that don't.
You know what was really cool, though? What I liked seeing was the fact that Babich was the play caller.
Yes.
They gave him the opportunity to call plays. And I mean, I get it. You don't want to, you know, because as a defensive coordinator, you can set up all the things you want to. Set up exotic schemes. You're not trying to do that with it. Obviously, in preseason. Offensively, you want to execute. You're not trying to do too many things exotic either, but you want to at least end plays well. I mean, how many times did you ever have practice where coach says, nobody's leaving until we get a good play, a good rep in? We want to end practice on a good rep, right? Yeah. You're playing basketball, and the coach says, hey, we got to make 10 straight free throws before we leave, and we ain't leaving until we make 10 straight free throws, right? You want to leave on a good note. With the first team offense, I would have loved us to leave on a good note, right? One good play. Just take one of your favorite plays and throw it, run it, and then we can get off the field. We didn't get any of that. So I feel like we got
Yeah, wild. And even with Trubisky, when they got all the way down the field, it was like 4th and goal from the 3, and they just sent Bass out there. Like, come on, just try to, because you had Kincaid out there and Coleman, like throw another one up just for the hell of it. Well, like, what good is getting Tyler Bass a 25-yard attempt going to do anybody? You know what I mean?
I will say this, though. We like that Tyler Bass is hitting.
That's true.
We need that brother getting all the confidence in the world for when the time comes and we need you to hit these long field goals. You have all the confidence in the world. So I kind of understand that part. But listen, everything you said made total sense, man. Yo, just go for that shit, man. Go for it.
He was 2 for 2 today, by the way. If you need something to be happy about, I was just going to say he was 2 for 2 today. If you do need something to take away from today and feel good about. But it wasn't like, I mean, one of them, the one thing you should actually be probably the most happy about, one of them was in the range in which he struggled in the most. He nailed one from 49 yards today, Rico.
That's nice. I liked it. I liked it. Crushed it.
So you'll take that. That's been the area where he's probably struggled the most, and that was the area that people were most concerned about in minicamp earlier this year, where they were, you know, claiming that he was missing them like crazy from that distance. Right. I have no problem getting reps for T-Bass right now, build his confidence up. But yeah, it just felt like there wasn't enough offensively to instill into anybody today as far as, you know, one way or the other. Honestly, if they could redo it, I would have liked to have seen, I know he ran and McDermott was probably like, all right, get him off. But I would have liked to have seen Allen close out that second drive there because he had already started it. I know this, like if the second quarter didn't come around, Rico, he would have continued to play.
So I think he would have. I think apparently he was campaigning to go back in the game and they said, yo, shut it down.
Isn't that funny? Because the other day he's like, I don't really care if I play today at all, whatever. And now like he's in, he's like, get me back in there. I love it.
Because like once you, because he probably felt like how we felt. Let's end this on a good note. And yeah. You're pulling me when I'm kind of getting in the flow of things. Like I'm in the flow right now. Let's roll. And sure enough, they said, no, you know, you ain't doing it. And how terrible would we feel if Allen came up, you know what I mean, going, look at his finger and can't grip a football, or he's coming off limping. We'd feel like garbage and we'd roast the heck out of Sean McDermott. Roast his ass. You're playing the Bears, man. Knock it off. It's the first preseason game. You can't win. Like Mike L said, you guys are still bitching about preseason. You can't win when you talk
imagine
about
it. Imagine what we'd be doing in that situation. Imagine. Gosh. Side note, Hill Slayer is saying Caleb Williams looked elite today. We were talking about him last night, the pressure that's on Caleb Williams, first overall pick with maybe the highest expectations we've seen for a first overall pick in some time. I'll tell you what, Rico, if I'm a Bears fan today, I was excited about what I saw through the first couple of series for Caleb Williams.
Listen, I would feel good if I was a Bears fan. Because he got his guys involved, right? You saw the screen. This is the thing. This is what I...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Would have loved to see from the Bills today. You saw the screen game work to a T for ripped off a 52 or 42 yard gain, right? Boom. You saw that work. Blocked up perfectly. It was the perfect play for the perfect defense. Then third and 12. You're like, all right, who's he going to go to? Yes, he goes to his number one target, a newly paid number one target, and DJ Moore. Boom. You get that. Then you got a little bit of a run game. You got a little bit of everything. You got a little bit of everything that gave you something to cheer about with the Bears. On the contrary, you look at the Bills, you're like, man, I want you. You're left wanting more, and you didn't get it. So now, next preseason, you know you're going to have to play a little bit more just to kind of get the juices flowing. And third game, you're done. You're letting all the depth players play. So next game, hopefully we'll see a little something. We dive more into the playbook, and we start to see a little bit more connection with Josh and his guys. But like we've been saying all freaking night, it's preseason. We get it. But I'm telling you, when you start looking at other teams, you see Jaden Daniels, first play of the game, goes deep. You know what I'm saying? De'Ami Brown catches that thing. I'll tell you, man, if they want to trade a receiver over to the Washington Commanders, that's where you want to go.
All right.
So, I'm telling you, you send Buddy over to the Commanders, Brandon Ayuk, they might be something else, man. They might be something else. But Caleb did look good. Shout out to Caleb. Shout out to the Bears. I mean, they're loaded with talent on that squad, especially on the offensive side.
It's hard not to like want them to succeed. They have been so mediocre for so long. Like, well, I never care about what goes on in the NFC. As long as it's not the Cowboys, and if it's somebody other than the Niners, I'm usually signing up for. Like, I think you're nuts if last year and the Bills were out. Like, we were all pulling for Detroit. How could you not? Like, you understand the lineage there between the Bills fans and Detroit fans when it comes to having absolutely nothing for the last however long. You got a glimpse today, if you're a Chicago fan, of what the future is going to look like. You saw DeAndre Swift absolutely hit the burners on a 42-yard pass. There's been these, you know, I don't want to call them ridiculous, but they kind of have to be called ridiculous because you can't compare anybody to Mahomes until you earn that comparison. But the way that they say, you know, it's like when you say, you know, just the preseason, like the way that people say the comparisons between Caleb Williams and Mahomes, they're not saying he is Mahomes. They're just saying you see the traits. The one thing I saw today where if you're a Bears fan, you're probably thinking the same thing. It was that screen pass where Caleb's under pressure, and it's just the way he moves in the pocket. Yeah, it just kind of gives you that Mahomes vibe where it's like, it doesn't feel super athletic or whatever, but for some reason it works. I don't know how to describe it, but whatever. I mean, if you're a Bears fan today, you got to be feeling happy about the future of that program. Speaking of other teams, by the way, did you see the viral clip going around last night of Diggs and Stroud having a chat on the sideline? Everybody was making a mountain out of a molehill.
Oh my gosh, were they ever? Like,
holy crap.
What and we didn't really help. I mean, our social media platform didn't really help. We're like, what do you think he's saying? Or what's CJ thinking? That was actually pretty cool.
How often are we gonna see that this year? Like, I'm done with it. I know we talked about Diggs last night, but that was only because Allen was asked and his answer was intriguing. I don't want my timeline filled with a bunch of Diggs on the sideline shit. I don't care. I just do not care at all.
It was funny. I mean, listen, the guy was coaching up. That's pretty much what you want from a veteran receiver that's been around the game so long. He's coaching up, and the young bucks are listening. CJ Stroud is listening to what Diggs is saying. But anybody can paint that picture saying, here he goes again. He's probably crying that he's not getting the football. And on the contrary, he's probably saying, fellas, we got this, man. We're great. We're doing awesome. And they always say the French speak with their hands and so on and so forth. So it might look like they're angry or whatever. The Italians, they speak with their hands and their hand talkers. Bro, the man was preaching on the sideline. And if he were doing that on the Bills sideline when he did do it, we loved it as Bills fans. We would say he's the only one that cares. He's the only one that's showing passion. He's the only one this. And now that you see it on the other sideline, there goes Diggs again. Man, leave that brother alone. Let that brother do what he does with the Texans and leave that brother alone, man.
The psychology behind fandom, Rico, it can never be proved anything other than just absurdity. Because like you just said, if that's on the Bills sideline, that's a leader right there. You want that passion. In fact, I was saying that after the Bengals game, I was praising him for it because he was the only one who seemed to care. But now you see him with another jersey on. It's there. He goes again. There goes that diva again. It's just so funny to watch. It's like as soon as the color of the jersey changes, so does the opinion on everything you had prior. I just thought it was funny that you couldn't even get one preseason game in before we saw the Diggs on the sideline talking videos. But
he did. I think in that game he had zero receptions, zero targets. Not that it matters, but it was interesting because somebody had to somebody put it out there. Zero targets, zero touchdowns, zero receptions.
Football is back, huh? Football is back. You got to love it.
Football is back. But listen, you're about to go for dinner with your lady, aren't you?
Yeah, Caroline's got something going on for us. I think we're going to a comedy show. Hey. You ever do the comedy?
I've been to comedy shows before. I try to stay away and stay clear from the front row because you are susceptible to getting roasted. That's a good point. Or part of a conversation that you may not want to be around for. So I stay in the back and do my thing. But yeah, comedy shows are great, man. So whoever you're going to go see, I hope you get your full of laughter.
We love them. I don't know who we're seeing. I like seeing the unknown people, though, more so than the headliners, just because, like, you never know what you're going to get. And I love that. Like, even if it's terrible, it's usually funny because it's terrible. So I'm looking forward to it. I love comedy shows. We actually go a decent amount. We go more than anybody else I know, really.
If this is true, this would be amazing to hear. Carl Jones, I would actually love to hear that, but I don't think it's true. So you mess with me, but that would be cool if Carl Jones got signed. But I thought I did hear something to that nature. If it's true, I gotta start looking up here. I might just hit Carl up and ask him, yo, what's up, man? What's going on?
I'm not seeing anything.
I'm not seeing anything either, but if that's true, that'd be really cool. So listen, I'm going to take calls from the chat. I know you.
Oh, very good. Yeah, do that. I will check it out later on. That sounds great. Take some calls. I can't wait to hear what everybody's got to say about today's beautiful performance. But Yeah, I'm going to bounce out. Much love, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the first preseason game. Take a deep breath, as I will. I'm going to try to get some sleep tonight. I promise you. Hopefully, I can get to bed tonight after what I saw today. But Rico, hold it down, brother. And
yeah, we know we will. We'll much talk love, folks. Have a good supper, man.
I will. Thank you, brother. Talk to you guys soon.
Be bold. Be bold and sit in the front
seat. I might get up on that damn stage, for Christ's sake.
Grab that mic.
See you guys.
See you, Michelle. All right, man. Fellas, ladies, listen, preseason in the books. And I'm sure you guys have things to say. And I'm sure you guys have questions to ask and so on and so forth. You guys already know what time it is. So guess what? You ask and you shall receive. So the link is in the chat right now. If you do want to say a couple things, have a couple questions you want to say, there's something that we missed that you'd like to talk about, this is your absolute opportunity to jump in there. I'm going to put the link in the chat, and that way you guys don't miss a beat. You guys can jump out there and join your boy here on the Rico and Bot in the evening / afternoon. It is 6 in the evening for East Coast folks. So here we are, man. So my man is going to go enjoy his supper, and we are going to enjoy some conversation about these Bills. So here's the deal, man. There's a few things. I mean, I was live on Bleacher Report earlier today, and there were some things immediately that bothered me. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm still somewhat concerned about that O-line. I am. Mitch Morse being gone, I'm not sad Mitch Morse is gone. I think it was necessary and needed to happen. But I'm also looking for the youth to step up and keep Allen clean. And in this game, man, we got pushed around. We got bullied, bro. Shane Bouchel, bro, he looked absolutely atrocious today. Man was running all over the place. And poor guy, because if you're not comfortable behind the pocket and you got to roll out, yo, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign, man. So we need to find I hate that I have to say this. We got to find the best five. The best five have to be on the field. And I get it. Connor McGovern has been practicing. He's been cooking pizzas for people. He's been doing a whole lot of stuff that's got this whole squad, you know what I'm saying, feeling like one. Well, the O-line did not feel like one today. They felt like many lost people on the line that just weren't in lockstep. So I need that O-line to clean their act up for the next game against the I don't know who our next preseason game is. It really doesn't matter at the end of the day. But we do have, and that should get this ball rolling. We do have a joint practice with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the very physical, led by Coach Tomlin, physical Pittsburgh Steelers. So hopefully that's the wake-up call that we get, because Babich always, he's been preaching about slobber knocker this, and we're going to be a tough run-stopping defense, and then we're going to smack people and all that good stuff. I didn't really see a lot of physicality today. It was lacking physicality today. So I need that from my trenches. I need that from the O-line. I need you guys to find your nasty and get downfield and start putting guys on their ass. And today didn't feel that way. So I bring up Mitch Morse because that was a savvy veteran guy, technical guy. He wasn't going to bowl you over, but technique-wise, he knew how to do his job. So now we have Connor McGovern that has played the position before. He's coming back to play the position. And I'm not saying this was on him, because now when you move Connor over, you're now left with David Edwards. You got Edwards holding it down at the left side. Is it good enough? That is the question. Is it good enough to have that lineup there? Do we go ahead and give that a try? Or do we start looking at Cedric Van Pan Granger to start taking more snaps at center? And as he takes snaps at center, you move McGovern back to left and see how that unit works. Now, will they do that? I don't know. I have no idea. But if they do decide to do that, I wouldn't be mad at it, because at the end of the day, we want your best five on the line. Maybe this is the best five on the line. We just had a bad day. Well, chalk that up as the bad day and never have one of those days again, because Josh Allen, he's going to need every last second of protection behind that O-line. Spencer Brown's coming back. Fantastic. Cyborg going into his second year. He's only going to get better, right? Connor McGovern taking over at center, fine. But we got to make sure that left side is shored up. That is the blind side of Josh Allen. make sure that you are taking care of 17, because it can be very problematic if he's always trying to get out of the pocket because he's sensing a lot of pressure. I don't want Josh getting out of the pocket so often. I need him staying in the pocket so he can make these plays downfield to the big dogs. That's the way I look at it. So that is something that I'm paying attention to. Walters, is very interesting that we have a team practice with a squad that last time they suited up against us, they got eliminated by us. I'm sure there won't be any bad blood. Oh, let me tell you something, man. If you guys saw the footage of the Pittsburgh Steelers practicing amongst themselves and the drill that they took the clip and put it online, was linebackers against the running backs. And it's a straight up pass blocking drill. Linebackers have free range to come in and lay a smack on that running back. Running backs just got to hold their water. Hold your water and jack up that running back and go. Listen, Jalen Warren is the quarterback over there. Is it Warren? You got Warren and you have that Alabama back. It's eluding my name right now. His name is not coming to my head. But those two boys were going at it toe-to-toe with the linebackers, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bro, and they were holding it all the way down. So that level of physicality, bring that, because maybe that's what's going to wake up the Bills' trenches. That's what's going to wake up the Bills. You know, Tomlin ain't playing no games, man. He's not playing any games. The fact of the matter is this, like Walter said, you guys eliminated us from playoff contention to continue to keep going. So you know what? We're going to show you a little something. We will show you a little something. So this is what I'm looking forward to. I'm hoping that it gives these Bills a wake-up call to figure it out that, yo, we got to be physical in this bitch. We have to be physical. Because if we playing patty cake with these guys, you know what I'm saying? You're going to have a problem when Josh Allen's on his ass, and now he's going to be grabbing by your freaking helmet and saying, yo, wake up. I didn't want to have to yell, but now y'all making me yell. Can't have that. We can't have that. So I get it. Rico, it's preseason. Would you shut up? No, I'm not going to, man. Because if this bleeds into the regular season, we all going to have a problem. We are all going to have a problem. So clean that ish up right now. I'm not trying to see you guys light up the scoreboard. No. What I'm trying to see is a physical team. I'm trying to see a team that's got some nasty. And I'm trying to see Josh Allen put some together with his freaking quarter, with his the rest of the offense. I hated that he was in so short, but I get it also. It's preseason. So how much is he going to play next game? Is he going to play a full half, or is it going to be a quarter again? I mean, I don't know. I don't blame people like Bobby. Bobby was like, yo, forget all this preseason nonsense. Just practice right up until week one and go play ball. But is what it is. So did anybody stand out to you guys in this game where you're like, if you didn't pay attention to this player, you tripping. Y'all need to pay attention. So if you are willing to jump in on stream with me, go ahead and jump in there. I've got the link in the chat right now. If you want to jump in and ask questions, if there's a topic that I've missed, potentially, let's talk about it. You have the link in the chat right now. I got my guy, Jeff. I'm not even going to bother trying to say your last name, brother, but what up, Jeff? Jeff says, yo, Bears new quarterback, definitely on point. Good turnaround for them. That's for sure. Hopefully our Bills can gel, man. Very sad outing on both sides of the ball. It wasn't good today. It really wasn't good today, man. It wasn't good. But sometimes you got to get those nasty games out the way. So, you know what I'm saying? You can produce going forward. Sometimes you just got to get that ugly one out the way. This one was an ugly one. Losing 33-6, unacceptable. Unacceptable. Melissa Stage, what's going on? She says, Rico, we lost because 17 didn't play. You seen when we was in how different it was. For sure. When Josh Allen's in the game, it's different. We all know that. He's a franchise. He's one of the best in the game. He's probably quarterback number two to some and number three to some. Some feel like he's the best quarterback in the game. But execution is execution. And we did not execute. We weren't even close to executing in this game. So that's what kind of annoyed me a little bit. But eventually we'll get there. We'll get on track and we'll be on our way. Another thing that concerns me, I got to say, is our run defense. I know it's preseason. I know it's the first week. But we are going to go up against some good backs this offseason. And this regular season, and we need to shore up. And the reason I'm concerned, I wouldn't say concerned. The reason I bring it up and I note it and file it away, because if we fix it, we fix it. It's just that last year there were some moments where we let some big games, some big gashes against our team. This offseason, all you hear is James Cook ripped it to the sideline for 60-yard touchdowns. Like, oof, I didn't like that, but okay. No, all you'll hear is Ray Davis took it right up the middle and not even touched. Boom, up the what? No, we can't have that. We definitely can't have that. So it starts with physicality, man. If we get physical on the line, we pushing linemen back, collapsing holes and collapsing lanes, we should be able to get the job done. So that's what stood out to me in this game. Now, another thing that stood out to me is this punt return, kick return battle that we have going. This punt return, kick return battle that we have going. I think so. My man Z-Bob thinks it's KJ Hamler's that's he's going to win it. I'm looking at the other way around. Not only do I think it's going to be Daquan Hardy, but Daquan Hardy he's versatile enough that he can play inside at nickel and play some boundary. So you have a player that can play both in a pinch. If you need him, he can, and he's potent enough and he's solid enough. Why not? That's the advantage that he has right now on making this team. Stranger things have happened. Maybe KJ Hamler is the guy, but now you got to keep him as a receiver. So now he's now your receiver six. Does that make sense to you? I'd rather keep a defensive back than have six receivers and the sixth being KJ Hamler. Sorry, I'll take Daquan Hardy all day, but I ain't the coach. I ain't the GM. So we got to wait this one out. So that's the way I'm looking at this whole situation, folks. Although this is preseason, I totally get it, but I would have loved to see, I mean, a Buffalo Bills stance, a stance like something like that puts a stamp and said, okay, that's the team I know. That's the squad I'm looking for. But I didn't see that today. So hopefully we turn it around. I'm sure we will. The film will not be a lot of people's best friend when they decide to watch film, whether it's Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. They're going to watch the film and they're going to be like, oof, that was brutal. So I hope we can correct the errors. And then we keep it pushing. We definitely keep it pushing. So I'm not going to stay much longer on here. I just wanted to just touch on a few things with this game. What was concerning to me? What was actually encouraging? And if we want to talk about what was encouraging, obviously Khalil Shakir, he seems to be a weapon of Josh's that Josh is going to rely on. And not only did Josh rely, is Josh going to be able to rely on? But it looked like Mitch Trubisky was connecting with him as well. He had three receptions this game, and he just seems to be in the right place, right time, makes the right read, and he's just reliable. Michelle, that's exactly right. He's Mr. Reliable, and he's looking. What I love about Mr. Reliable's game is he ain't going down on the first one. He's always looking for more, and that's exactly what this offense is going to try to build this year. Is the yak, is the run after catch. Josh won't have to do as much. Dink, dunk, and let these guys be athletes. Let these guys make it upfield, and if they break it and take it to a house and make a house call, even better, even better. But these guys are they're not bad. They're not doing too bad. They're not doing too bad. It's just that I need to see. I would have loved to see a little bit more, but there are some bright spots, and that was one of them. Pierre Kingpin says, rewatching the game now. He says, number 36, Kendall Williamson looks very interesting. He stood out a bit. Going to keep an eye on him. Listen, keep watching that game because Kendall was active. He was very active, and it kind of concerned me. And I said this earlier with Bot. We're down to Kendall Williamson starting. Think about it. You got no Bishop. You got no Cole Bishop. You got no Mike Edwards, right? And you're looking at Kareem Jackson as a vet. Burgess just got here. Like, we're depleted at the line, and we have guys that don't really know what's going on. So, yeah, Kendall was definitely active. He wasn't afraid to get down and dirty. He made some good breakups. So you're going to see 36 flying all over the field today. So keep an eye on it and let me know how you feel about it. Jay Song says, a whole lot of concern. Some things that were good, like Khalil and Keon, maybe decent. Still not happy we didn't get McConkey or Leggett. Hey, man, listen, I haven't really heard a whole lot about McConkey or Leggett out there. So you let me know how that's turning out. My man Pierre says, yo, like I've been trying to tell y'all, man, Shakir is Amon-Ra St. Brown. You heard it here first. I don't know. I mean, he could be. I mean, they about the same complexion. I think that's as close as they get to. But if he becomes a Amon-Ra St. Brown, yo, we won. That's a win for the squad. We can sit here and ride the coattails of a Amon-Ra St. Brown type player in Khalil Shakir alongside Keon and obviously Dalton Kincaid. So listen, we've got some good things. The one thing that I will say that I was concerned about was O-line. O-line, I'm very concerned about it. And I'll say very. I'm very concerned because I want them to give us the best opportunity and the best way to keep Allen fresh and clean. And today, although Allen was out, we allowed 8 sacks today. That tells me this O-line is not yet gelling. So now do you have to find the best 5? Is Granger in there to put him back at center, his natural position? He's very intelligent. He's very smart. And then you put Connor back at left guard. I think they're going to really give it a try with Connor at center. So we're going to have no choice but to see this group make it happen. So I hope that they come together and clean up their act, because we are going to go up against some dominant defensive linemen. We need to get it together. We absolutely need to get it together. Melissa Sanchez, I love Curtis Samuel. He's going to be a beast. Curtis Samuel looked good. He looked explosive today. And I'm looking forward to seeing more. I like Curtis Samuel, man. I want to see more of the football in his hands. So you have dynamic play in Curtis Samuel. You have a reliable, dependable receiver and an active one at that in Khalil Shakir. You got a bona fide top 10 tight end in Kincaid, and he's going to climb. He's going to get better. That O-line needs to shore up, man. If you keep that O-line intact, the sky's the limit. Did look good today. It did not look good today. Pure hands, super shifty, clutch gene, and looks to have that dog in him. Very QB friendly. Going to be fun to see what he brings to the offense. We're good on this side, baby. We good on this side. And I get it. We definitely good on this side. People said that Carter got pushed around. I watched the game back. No, he didn't. Played well, held his ground. Yeah, he did. I don't know who's telling you that he got pushed around. He did not get pushed around. He held his own. He held his own. Big number 90 was holding his own in the middle. And wait till they find the right sweet spot rotation to get Dwayne Carter in the game. I'm excited for this defense, man. I am. I mean, don't take this, what you saw this performance today. Don't take it as the gospel. I mean, this is not your starting unit allowing this, but having to go down 33-6 doesn't feel good. I'll be real with you. That 33-6, it didn't look good. We didn't look good. We looked sloppy. So we're going to have to get it together, man. We're going to have to get it together. Alton Venezuela. What's up, Alton? He says, yo, I'm not sold on Edwards, to be honest. Neither am I. I'm absolutely not sold on Edwards. I know that he's got some starting experience. I know that he played some with us last year. But I'm not sold on him being the starting left guard. I am not. So there's guys that's going to have to step up. Is it Keaton Bills on the squad? Is it going to be Will Clapp on the squad? I mean, are they going to rotate some guys? Is it going to be Granger? Cedric Van Pran Granger? Who knows? These next 2 weeks, we're going to see if they tweak the O-line. If they don't tweak the O-line, that O-line better come together and be solid. Michelle Holloman says, yo, Curtis Samuel is a better blocker than I thought. Keon Coleman is a better route runner than I thought. And Solomon is fast as hell coming off the edge, but just over pursued. Yo, Solomon is going to be a problem. I've been telling y'all, man, Solomon is going to be a problem. And you just wait. Pierre de Kingpin says, yo, MVS and these drops has been career narrative. Hard to rely on a dude at this point. I'm telling you, that drop was abysmal. He was in the middle of the field by himself. Nobody around him. Ball on the money. Drops the football. Nah, bro, you can't do that. You definitely can't. At least with Shavers, when he dropped the ball, he was turning, contorting his body. You still got to catch that, but he's contorting his body and had to let it. I mean, he didn't work out. But listen, we can bitch and moan about all these other things, but like those are things that stand out. They stand out, and these drops by MVS stand out enough to the point where now scouts in the scouting department is gonna be like, yo, we need to go back to the drawing board. Let's go back to the drawing board and see what we got, because if we cut in Hamler, we gotta figure it out. Now, defensively, what's his name? Kendall Williamson is the guy that we see making noise. Kendall Williamson is the guy that we're like out of nowhere. He's doing things, and it was him, you know what I mean, replacing Taylor Rapp. We got problems, man. So Are we just going to sit here and let Justin Simmons visit with all these other teams? I get it. If you bring him onto the Bills, you have to deal with the repercussions of when Cole Bishop comes back and Mike Edwards comes back. Now you've got an overage of safeties in the room. I could care less. Give me the best two safeties and start them. If it's Taylor Rapp and Justin Simmons, so be it. If Mike Edwards got to get cut, so be it. He's got to go. I don't care if he can take those two Super Bowls with his ass. I just want the best product on the field. They didn't feel like that today. They definitely did not feel like that today. So we'll see. We shall see. AK Cash says, yo, Spencer Brown low-key playing subpar. This will improve after a couple real games. I mean, this was their first game. They had to get the jitters out. So you look forward to the next game being, I don't need it to be dominant. But I also need it to be like, okay, affirming, reaffirming. Like, give me the affirmation I need to know that we are gonna be all right. This team is a legitimate team. What happened that first preseason game? We're just getting the jitters out. All right, now let me show you what's really good. So, it always starts with the trenches. It's gotta start with the trenches. So whether we tweak it or it's a matter of Aaron Cromer saying, yo, these are the problems. Here's what happened. Do you see this? You're getting pushed around like a little bitch. Yo, stand up. Anchor down. Get in there and hold your water. Because once we get that in track, you give Allen time. You can actually run the football. Yo, the sky's the limit. The sky's the absolute limit. So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? That's the way I'm looking at it, though. So I know there was some press conferences today. And we could take a look at what Coach McDermott had to say, because I know that he had a few things to say about today's game. So let's take a look. Let's take a look, see what McDermott had to say about this game today. And I'm sure he's going to tell us the whole thing. Hey, it's just preseason. It's just this. It's just that. We're going to see. We're going to find out. And by the way, shout out to Team USA for winning the men's basketball. Good on you guys. I'll say this though. It should have been the Canadian team that you guys faced. I don't know how we lost to French Wemby and that team. We should have been. We're too good. We just didn't have the bigs. We didn't have the bigs to compete. So shout out to LeBron and them boys. Y'all did it. Y'all did it. I'll give it to y'all. So what's let's take a look at the presser and see what these boys are talking about here. So let's find McDermott, because I know McDermott was definitely one of them that was speaking today. The Buffalo Bills. So let me crank this sucker up. How long do you speak for? 8 minutes? All right. We'll kind of catch a little bit of that 8-minute presser and we'll go from there. Questions, concerns, talk to me, folks. How y'all feeling? If you guys feel good about this Bills and you're not worried, let me know. No concern. If you got no concern, kudos to you. Not a whole lot of people can be that way. I'll tell you that much. So let me share my screen here real quick. And let's get our boy, Mr.
Maybe the red zone defense early in the game kept us in a little bit. But outside of that, a ton to work on. And our standard was not out there today. That's not how we play. So there's a lot that we need to do to get ourselves ready to go here.
It's preseason game, Sean, in the first one. You could not really have been happy with much of what happened.
But we've got to learn from it. I think, you know, we have to be truthful about.
By the way, I'm not a fan of those hats. That string across it. Get rid of the string and we good. But that string across it, I ain't feeling that. Let me continue.
What we saw out there, and really it started with, I felt like beating ourselves quite a bit just with pre-snap penalties. And I think eight of the 11, maybe. I think we had 11 total penalties, eight of which were some form of pre-snap or post-whistle. In this case, pre-snap.
What are you not focused, man?
So, I mean, let's just start there, right? Self-inflicted wounds are hard to overcome, and then you've got to play an opponent on the other side. So give them credit. They played well. There's a lot we can learn from, and you know, I'm confident we'll do that. But I'm also happy to see a lot of guys. I think the goal was at least to get everyone in. in some capacity. So I'm happy for those players that had never played before in an NFL game that they got in and were able to get out there and get some work. So
that group, what did you see from Keon? Just his comfortability, only caught one ball out there for two drives, but just your impressions of seeing him out there in an NFL atmosphere.
Yeah, I thought he looked, you know, comfortable. I thought he looked like it wasn't too big for him, and that's part of being a young player and adjusting. And you know, that didn't surprise me though, because he's been, I would say, taking things in stride that way, right? So and you see him, you're out of practice every day, right? He's executed, made some big time plays, and today the ball didn't find him as much, and it wasn't really a game plan whatsoever for us. We were just out there trying to make sure that we had a chance to see where we were fundamentally and overall as a football team, and then had a chance to evaluate our personnel.
Sean, I think Josh mentioned that he was campaigning maybe a little to stay in on that drive after the, you know, when the first quarter ended there. Why decide to take him out mid-drive?
You know why.
Yeah, I just felt like it was the right time. You know, he came out. I thought it had a good warm-up, good look in his eye, and I saw what I needed to see. So no need to put him out there in harm's way any longer than that.
You saw what you needed to see. What did you see? What did you need to see there, Mr. Sean McDermott? I saw what I needed to see. What did he give you? I don't get it. I don't know what you were looking for, but I didn't see it. So what the hell did you see? Or what were you looking for exactly? Sean, you funny cat. You funny.
You said how hot things come up, but your lack of ability to run, really no push up front. If you could just talk a little bit about that issue.
Well, you said, you know, there's not much more to say other than we didn't control the line of scrimmage.
Nope.
From the jump.
Got and, bullied.
I mean, all the way down to the one of the last series of that we had on offense, you know, trying to get a first down, it's, you know, third and one, fourth and one, whatever it was there, and can't get a yard. So that's also, you know, that's where the challenge comes in, and we got to embrace that challenge. We got a lot of work to do, and, you know, we'll look at the film, obviously, and it'll hit us right in the face in terms of what we didn't do well, and that was a big one right there. When you don't control the line of scrimmage, it makes it hard to win.
How do you not overreact in a good way or in a bad way after a preseason game?
It's preseason.
I do a lot of self-talk. You had a blood pressure cuff on me during that game. It would probably have exploded. So I just think that when you've been around as long as I have, you know, to try and keep perspective. And that's why they call us coaches also, to take a team where it may be and make it better. And that's what we've done here, and that's what we're planning to continue to do in terms of taking this team and what we did today and then get them better.
I really hope I don't get turned off by Sean McDermott this year, because I actually really enjoy Sean McDermott as coach. I think he's a great coach. I think the team likes him. The team follows him. I don't think they've grown bored of him, you know what I'm saying, or lack of respect. But I like this brother. I can totally see how boring this brother could be, right? But I still like him as a coach. And when he's fired up and ready to go, he's nice. But I get it. It's early, so this doesn't really count as much. But golly, man. bro, you better have this team fired up, man. Because sometimes they say the team takes the personality and the image of the head coach. In the words of in the gestures of Shannon Sharp, I hope that ain't it. I told y'all before, man, I'm a big fan of McDermott, but if he don't get it done this year, they gotta have a long, hard conversation about what they're gonna do with this brother. They really do.
And better throughout the course of the season. I firmly believe that that's what a coach's job is to do. So, you know, that's what we'll do, and we'll look at this film, like I said, and we've got good guys in this locker room, and it means something to them. And I think some of the younger guys who haven't been in our locker room and some new guys who haven't been in our locker room but are veterans, they start to understand that the standard is the standard. It's the standard even in a preseason game, preseason week one. And that's probably one of the more irritating things of this is I don't care who it is, where we're playing, what time of day we play, or in this case, preseason game number one, there is a standard and expectation when you put the colors on the Buffalo Bills to come out and play a lot better than
wasn't
we
a good one today,
we
got
a lot better than we did. And so that's important to me.
What's considered in
return job? Yeah, you know what? I thought
Jaquan Hardy's to lose, man.
I thought the returners, especially the ones that are new to our team, got a feel for the weather in Buffalo, right? It's a beautiful day, but that wind kicks up out there from time to time, and I think the gusts were pretty significant at times. And I would say that I thought Sam at times did a pretty good job punting into the wind, because that got pretty gusty at times. You know, I thought the returners, both KJ and Dede, were having a little bit of trouble tracking the ball, right? And I think the first two kickoffs to KJ, especially the second one that we put on the ground there, looked like we were having trouble tracking it. And then the one to Dede late in the game that flew over his head, you know, that wind gust.
Yeah, see, I had enough of my man, Sean McDermott, bro. I had enough. So let me get to my guy, Josh Allen. Let's see what Josh Allen had to say. That's 4 minutes. I can deal with that. Listen to Josh Allen talking.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we only had three or four runs in, and again, we didn't game plan at all for what they were going to do on defense. You know, so just trying to try out some of the runs that we've been working on and practicing. And I know we got a lot of different stunts, a lot of different pressures into those. So it's all good work.
But, makes sense. Finish the drive out.
First drive, three and out. Got to get a good first down there. And then that second drive, you know, it was only three plays until I got yanked. So whole lot of effort getting ready to play and getting those few snaps. But I understand the reasoning behind it.
Let me ask you a question. Like he just said, I would have really wished I finished that series. If you're a coach and you want to see some kind of rhythm with your team, especially with your franchise quarterback, do you leave him in? If you say, yo, coach, let us finish, man. I'm mid-series, let me finish. Or do you do what coach did and says, no, you got to go. That quarterback slide that you just took there coming out of the pocket, I ain't with that, you're out of here. Or let him play. Let this team try to build something as they go. What are your thoughts? Talk to me in the chat. Let me let this play out.
It was great. It was great. I thought guys went out there and we talked very well, especially between me and Connor. You know, the few plays that we had, just making sure that the mic points were where they needed to be. And yeah.
Josh, overall, what could the team kind of learn from today?
Again, I think Coach McDermott preached it in the room right now is we hold ourselves to a very high standard.
That's what he did.
You know, whether that was met today, I guess we'll find out on film. Doesn't really feel like it was stepping out of that locker room. But again, I think guys were.
Hey, at least Josh is honest, man. At least that's how it felt like today. Maybe it wasn't as bad as we thought. No, but it was. It was. I mean, 33-6 is a drubbing. They whooped you. They gave it to you. But sometimes coach might say, yo, you guys ran it perfectly. You just made the wrong read. Look, if you hit this guy instead of that guy, you climb the pocket. This play works. We're there. We got it. Maybe that's how film study goes. Or it was as bad as it looked. But at least he's honest. At least he's honest. You got to give him that.
We're flying around. And, you know, it's hard to play games where you don't really game plan for teams. You're not really sure what they're doing. You don't have your best plays in. There's a balance between running what we've been practicing but not showing a whole lot to the world, too. It is preseason at the end of the day. So just wanting to see the guys' effort and how they go attack a game day. And this is, you know, the first stepping stone or milestone for a lot of these guys that have never played an NFL game. So, you know, get to see that and see how they respond to it. And, again, we'll turn on the film, we'll watch it, and we'll get rid of it and move on.
Josh, what was you trying to get a feel for? Like you said, it's a lot of new faces out there, right? So what was particular that you was really trying to get a feel for out there?
Again, I think just communication, some body language. You only got a couple passes in there, but felt good with what we were doing. And, again, that balance of calling plays because you want to win the game, but also not showing your hand and what exactly we've been working on and what we're going to do throughout the season. It's tough to win like that.
But again, it's we're not going to make a big deal out of preseason game one.
Got in here a little bit late. Sorry if you were asked this. What did you see from Keon today? Just energy before the game and how he fit out there?
Yeah, energy was great. You know, catching a first down there in the early in the second quarter.
That was cool.
You know, thought we had a couple chances in the end zone there, albeit, you know, he did a good job of breaking one up in the end zone.
That should have been picked.
Again, I thought the energy was there. He was very attentive on the sideline, and, you know, I think I can say that for a lot of guys.
Hey, Josh, how valuable will be practicing this for next week? The runs and stuff that's
not going to take. Yeah, I think it'll be very valuable. I don't know exactly how many days. I think it's only one day of practice. So, again, just being smart and understanding that, you know, the energy is going to be high on both sides. So to be smart and not do anything stupid. And then obviously probably get some more reps in the game next week. I'm not sure really what the plan is right now.
You better.
But, you know, we'll just kind of play it by ear and go from there.
How was the communication between you and Senator?
It was awesome. Yeah, Connor and I were communicating well, you know, understood what we were trying to do. And, you know, the O-line, their main goal, they told me before, is like, we just want to keep you clean. And they did that. So that's what we're happy about.
You said probably
get
any more reps with you next week
for
that conversation.
I have no idea. I'm assuming
they kept you clean, which one you were in there for a couple of years, bro.
If coach says no, then it's no, and we move on. But just making sure that I have that mindset of I will be playing. But yeah, who knows?
Do you feel like leaving this game, or like specific things you still want to do in like a game setting before?
I mean, not necessarily, but again, just the more repetitions in game like situations that you can get with some of these newer guys is super beneficial. So I understand the reasoning if we do. I understand the reasoning if we don't. So we'll go from there.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. So Josh Allen out there. So here at the end of the day, folks, he's always going to keep it real. I like Josh Allen for that. This guy's media trained like crazy. Like he knows what to say. He knows what to give away and what not to give away. But Pierre said something in the chat before I get out of here that I was bummed out by. So you started Allen to get a feel with the new receivers, and then you allow Mitch Trubisky to finish and try to get something going with Coleman in the first red zone look. I would have just said, you know, Josh got in there. This is red zone. I want to see what it looks like, right? We're passing all three downs. Let's roll. Let me see if you guys get it. Cause I'm telling you right now, if it were those two together, I think they make it work. So, I mean, you can bitch and moan about the decisions that coach makes. It is what it is. Everybody got out there relatively healthy. That's what you want. You don't want something catastrophic to happen. So hopefully the next preseason game, was it the Pittsburgh Steelers? Usually we do a joint practice with the team that we're about to play, right? So it's probably going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Bills week two preseason. It probably is going to be them. But anyway, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to it's the Dolphins. We play the Dolphins next week. Is that right? Am I wrong? Am I tripping? I'm not even looking at it, but it doesn't matter. So, yeah, man, that's what I'm looking forward to. Next week, we'll see who we play. And I want to see a little bit more. So they're probably going to, based on what the media is saying and based on what the fans will be talking about, we didn't see enough for Josh and Keon. Guarantee you watch, there's going to be a lot of Keon and Josh and them trying to get something going on early in the game. And once that's done, once they establish something, or if it's Josh and Curtis Samuel or Josh and Khalil Shakir, rest assured, they're going to try to get that combination of those three players alongside Kincaid in that end zone. And once we have a great series and something happens, I'll be good. I think we'll all be good. We just didn't see it today. We didn't see a damn thing today. There was nothing that you could hang your head on and say, "Ooh, but that series was a great series." It wasn't. We didn't have anything great that stood out. And tag on the 11 penalties. Tag on getting sacked 8 times today. Not a good day for the O-line altogether. The defense got pushed around a little bit. But nonetheless, preseason, that's how it rolls. So anyway, folks, that's my time. Didn't look like anybody wanted to come on here and chat live. I left the link in the chat, but it's all good. We will wait till game time when it's more passion and people are kind of feeling it, and we'll go from there. But yeah, man, go ahead and rewatch that game if you have the heart to. If you have the heart to rewatch that game, you might come out. And see it completely different. Your perspective might change. And you're like, you know what? It wasn't as bad as we thought. But I'll tell you this much. Shane Buell, or Bushell, excuse me. Well, he has got to be dying. That interception that he threw, that he got absolutely baited by the linebacker. The linebacker showed one way, spread out another, and then crossed the face. And you can see it. He was going to the running back from the jump. And the linebacker read that, and he's like, thank you very much. Let me take that to the house. Photo op, I'm out. Shane Bouchel. That was rough. That was rough. And nothing worse than when you try to redeem yourself by trying to make a tackle, and all you get is a face full of turf as the guy walks into the end zone, dancing. Yo, that's the worst. That is the worst. But anyway, folks, that is our time. That's my time. My man Z-Bot had to go. He had supper to go to and a comedy show. We'll see if he ends up sitting in the front. It was weird to see to some of y'all that Z-Bot had no hat on. But that's what it is, man. Realtor on the top. Bama alumni on the bottom. That's just what it is. That's what it comes down to, folks. So that's it for me. We will catch you guys again next week, obviously. And then we'll see what comes about when we have you know, saying the Bills in week two. We hope to see a little bit more chemistry. Right? We hope to see a little bit more firepower coming from the offense. But more specifically, we hope to see a little bit more physicality. Today we got pushed around. We got bullied. We got bullied on the block in Buffalo, man. And that's not what we want. We are the ones that are supposed to be doing the bullying. But we got bullied. They came to our crib and they bullied us off the block. We used to run this block, and now they said, nah, it's my block now. Get going. We can't have that. We can't have that. So we have an opportunity next week to get this offense going, get this defense going, and show some life, show some physicality. And once that happens, man, we'll be back at it. We'll be back at it. We'll get back on track, and we'll be the team that everyone expects us to be. And that's the way I look at it. So that's it. We'll catch you guys on the flip. We appreciate you always. Yeah. If you have not subscribed to the channel and you're new here, you're like, yo, who are these guys? We'll keep rolling. Just go ahead and follow us. Hit that like button. Hit the comments. And if you're in the comments right now and you're replaying this, I want y'all to hashtag week two. On to week two. Hashtag on to week two. And hopefully we get something going, folks. You guys have yourself a fantastic evening. We will catch you guys on the flip side. And until next time, it's the Bills. It's the Bills. It's Rico. It's Z-Bot. And we gone. Let's go. The opponents got to call up Triple O. Bills Mafia. We heating up. We too electrical. We got Bean to plug. Electric show. We wired up. Hit up Rico. He fired up. We know where we stand on the power ranking. Other teams fans in the comments hating. We block them all. We protecting Josh. Salute to him. He the general now. Rico got legends for interviews. How the Buffalo Bills got the best fan base. Away games. Red, white, blue in the crowd. Hey. I'm a Buffalo fanatic. Play good, be humble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.